May the Lord help us to commence our service this evening by singing hymn 320. 320. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. 320.
Yeah. May the Lord help us to read together from his holy word two portions. Firstly, part of the 31st chapter, the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31, commencing to read at verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rahel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up way marks, make thee high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel. Turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah, and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together, husbandmen and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. We turn to the book of the prophet Zechariah, and read part of chapter 9. Zechariah, Chapter 9. We'll commence reading at verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as a lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, help us now as one, united by thy Spirit, to approach with reverence, with awe, in godly fear and in faith, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, upon which thou, Lord Jesus, dost sit. Oh, we plead for help this evening. Oh, in thy name, Lord Jesus, for thy sake, on account of thy finished work, Lord, that thou wouldst send down thy Spirit, that we may believe on thee, that we may repent of our sin, Lord, that we may hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him. Lord, that we may be given that pure language which thou said thou would turn unto thy people, that they shall call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one consent. We are in great need of thy help. Lord, we meet together this evening under these unforeseen circumstances, but we meet together for the same purpose we would have done if we had been permitted to enter into thy courts, that is the worship of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they that worship thee, thou hast said, must worship thee in spirit and in truth. And of ourselves, Lord, we are of the flesh, of the earth, earthy, having deceitful hearts and desperately wicked hearts. Oh, we pray in Jesus' name, may the Spirit of truth come down upon us and reveal to us the things of God and make to us salvation known. O Lord, we pray for the hearing ear and the seeing eye and the feeling heart and the willing feet. We pray, Lord, for godly sorrow for our sin. Lord, who make us true mourners over our sins and after them. Grant us those sacrifices of God, which are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O Lord. But oh, do grant us a glimpse of yon lovely man, thy dear son. Lord Jesus, reveal thyself to us. And know it's those that join this service, pleading, we would see Jesus. Lord, they need it. No one really pleads that prayer until they really need Jesus. Lord, if we don't feel our need of thee, make us feel it. And those that feel their need of thee tonight, oh Lord, we pray through this means, thou wouldst reveal thy Son unto them. Lord, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and thy people are complete in him. O Lord, look on empty sinners. Look on lost sinners. Look on far-off sinners, feelingly dead sinners, hard-hearted sinners, carnally minded sinners. And Lord, oh, work that in them. And they shall feel it, they shall know it, and they shall long for deliverance. And they shall be called by thee to look for that deliverance in thee and in thee alone. They shall be brought to thee with their pockets empty and carnal hopes dashed. Lord, how true the words of the hymn are. Thou will bring them to Christ and he'll save them at last in that very condition. Oh, we plead then mercy. Pardon our sins. Lord, all the troubles that we come into, all the troubles that we are in now are all on account of sin. Pregnant cause of misery. Sins against an holy God, sins against thy righteous law, sins against thy name and blood, sins against thy love and call, sins immense, as is the same. Hide me, O Gethsemane, oh, for the reality of the Spirit's leading. We may by faith see thy track, Lord Jesus, through this desert weary, through this great and terrible wilderness, wherein our fiery serpents and scorpions, to see thee obeying thy Father's law in every jot and tittle, see thee standing against those fierce temptations of the devil, and see thee grappling the dread foe sin in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the judgment hall, and then at Calvary. Lord, do give us the eye of faith to firmly eye the Savior. Oh, reveal thyself to us. That and that alone would put everything right. Lord, deliver us from trying to put anything right ourselves. But Lord, deliver us from that carelessness about that which is wrong. Lord, leave us not to think it is all right to go on with those things that are wrong. Wrong in our heart, wrong in our minds, wrong in our spirit, wrong in our lives. Wrong thoughts, wrong words, wrong actions. wrong commissions of that which is forbidden, wrong omissions of that which is commanded. Lord, leave us not to think it is all right to go on in all this wrongness. Lead us that narrow way out of it. On either side, a precipitous fall. Presumption on one side, and ignominium on that side. Careless of what the law says, not regarding what the law says, not considering what the law says. On the other side, Lord, your despair. Lord, oh, do not leave any of us to that despair. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer, said that one of old, and Lord, he was trampled to death. In that surge of people, when thou didst fulfill thy promise and open the windows of heaven, grant such an abundance to that besieged people. Oh, save us then from despair, save us from presumption, save us from everything. Everything but thee, Lord, we need saving from. For thou art God alone. It is against thee we've sinned. It is only thee that can save, but blessed be thy dear name. Thy Son is called Jesus. Thou didst call him that name thyself, Holy Father. He shall save his people from their sins. Oh, are we thy people, Lord? How shall we know it? By being saved by thee? Oh, from our sins, from the guilt of them and from the power of them. Bless, Lord, the people that swave us. Uphold them. Lead them, teach them, bless them, help them at this time. Lord, the affliction that thou hast poured forth upon the earth has come into their midst. We pray for our afflicted friend, Lord, that thou wouldst be with her, that thou wouldst heal her. Lord, that thou wouldst restore her. And Lord, that thou wouldst show unto her thy gracious purpose in it, even as we've sung in the hymn. May the cloud that is so much dreaded, Lord, oh, thou knowest how thy people come into Job's place. The thing that I greatly feared is come upon me. The Lord, he was to do him good in the latter end. Oh, do thy people in their afflictions good, all those afflictions. Lord, thy people are a poor and an afflicted people. The sins, the devil's temptations, the attacks of the adversary. Lord, the afflictions of body and circumstance, those tidings that come from time to time, and sometimes they, in thy wise purposes, seem to pour in one after another, so that thy people see every day new straits attend and wonder where the scene will end. But Lord, it will end in their blessing. It will end in their salvation. It will end in them being landed safe with thee. And they would not come to that end. Didst thou not call them? Didst thou not lead them? Didst thou not lead them in that wilderness? Didst thou not bring upon them those burdens, afflict them, weary them, distress them? Lord, that they might be partakers with thee, Lord Jesus, in thy suffering. But Lord, none of us will go to heaven except we be dead with thee, Lord Jesus. Lord, except we be crucified with thee. Lord, except we be brought to realize, feel, and confess to thee and plead for mercy with regard to our solemn condition as sinners before thee. Lord, we pray then, and could it please thee, if it is thy holy will, to preserve those in the families from contracting this virus, if it must come, Lord, that thou wouldst in their cases also sanctify and heal and restore, if it could please thee. And Lord, as we, under thy judgment, once again face a period of those restrictive conditions put upon us in an attempt by those in authority to restrict the spread of this virus, we pray that thou would sanctify these things to us. Lord, that thou wouldst cause us to hear thy voice in it. That it speak in the early part of the year. Thou hast spoken again and again through this year, and now thou art speaking again. And thy servant Elihu said of thee, God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Oh, we pray that thou wouldst grant unto us that we may not be among those who never perceive thy voice. Oh, that we might be among thy sheep who perceive thy voice. Lord, who hear thy chastening voice, thy chastening rod. Lord, who hear thy drawing words. Who hear thy wondrous words, even to the backslider. Return, O backsliding daughter. Who hear thy pardoning voice. Who receive that cleansing. Lord, that blessed mountain we've read of, the mountain of holiness and justice, Mount Zion. We might be brought to that mount. To the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to innumerable company of angels, the church of the firstborn which are written in heaven. Lord, oh, bring us to lovely Mount Zion. Lord, oh, we pray for that grace. The hymn writer put into verse when he said, return my wandering heart to thy dear resting place. Nothing in nature or in art so fair as Jesus' face. Lord, we pray, may thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Even with regard to the deliberations of Parliament on the morrow. Lord, we would desire, if it is thy holy will, that we might be permitted to continue meeting in thy house. But Lord, as we have been reminded this afternoon, thou knowest what is best. Help us then to fall into thy hand. And plead, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, oh, we believe if it did please thee, and to so overrule in Parliament that the houses, the house of God might remain open even in this month, we believe thou wouldst watch over thy people. But Lord, thou art God, and we are just poor, sinful, ignorant men. Lord, help us to trust thee. Help us to cast all our care upon thee. And may we prove, whatever the outcome, thou dost care for us. For Lord, we certainly cannot care for ourselves. Oh, we seek thy care. Oh, care for me. Care for me in this service. Grant me thy spirit. Grant me every word to speak and care for the people. Grant them thy spirit, the hearing of faith, the entrance of thy word which giveth light and understanding to the simple. Have pity on Britain, and indeed all the nations of the world. Overrule, Lord, in all the things that are taking place. Thou art the Lord God who omnipotent reigneth. Thou wilt do thy will. Oh, we do pray. Do good unto us. Save us, we beseech. Bring us safely and honourably through. May we be found living stones in Salem streets above. And help to sing before the throne, free grace and dying love. Help the deacons, Lord. Help the people to pray. Help thy servants in their ministry. Pardon now all we ask wrongly. Make up where we fail in asking. We plead for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 350. Hymn 350. Ye pilgrims of Zion and chosen of God, whose spirits are filled with dismay, since ye have eternal redemption through blood, ye cannot but hold on your way. Hymn 350.
Oh, my God.
In dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, reading verses 11 and 12. The book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. The Lord speaks here to the daughter of Zion, the daughter of Jerusalem, his eternally loved people, his Ephraim, who, though he afflicts, yet in all his afflictions he loves. And so he afflicts, that is, he makes each one of them know the afflictions that they are in, the affliction of their sin, deadly affliction, an affliction which, if he does not heal them of, they shall perish eternally with. But he afflicts them, that he might heal them. As for thee also, oh, when he speaks to each individual person, it is as for thee also. The Lord speaks to every one of his daughters of Zion. Yes, he does speak in his word to the whole of the church, but he causes it to come at his set time to each one of them individually. Ye shall be gathered one by one, O house of Israel, as for thee also. My dear friend, let us remember this, that the reason why the time is lengthened out, the reason why the Lord Jesus has not descended from heaven the second time to bring to an end time, is because there are yet those to whom he will say this, as for thee also. O sinner, there's no way you can be brought in among the Lord's people but by this. Ye have not chosen me, said the Lord Jesus, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Oh, my dear friend, eternity, that never-ending state, is so close to each one of us. Where do you and I stand this evening with regard to this word? Has the Lord in time past said to us, as for thee also? Oh, when you by his grace were quickened, when you by his grace felt to be outside the number of his people, not like unto his people, you felt to be lost. You didn't feel to be going to heaven. You felt to be justly bound for hell. Oh, you knew you weren't a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You knew you weren't a lover of God. But oh, the Lord made it such an exercise in your soul. With them numbered, may I be now and to eternity. Because, my dear friend, we're not numbered with the Lord's people merely by assembling in the house of God with them. What does the preacher say in the book of the Ecclesiastes? He says, I saw the wicked buried that had come and gone from the place of the holy. No, that doesn't put you among this favored people, my dear friend. Not becoming a member of a church, not being a preacher does. What does? When the Lord says, as for thee also, that's the manifestation of it. The Apostle Peter exhorts us, doesn't he? Oh, may we have ears to hear. You see, the Lord has spoken to us as a nation and as individuals and as churches and congregations so very clearly. Again and again in our lives, and how clearly he has spoken in this year 2020. Oh, what is he saying? What is he saying? He's saying, for your sins I've afflicted you. He is telling men they are sinners. When his judgments are in the earth, the wicked will not learn righteousness. But the Lord's people will. He will give them an ear to hear it. He will give them a heart to receive it. He will give them a heart to feel it. My dear friend, there's no child of God on this earth that has not need of the chastening of their God. Oh, what does the Lord say to those churches in his letters to them? Dictated to John on the Isle of Patmos. He says, I've not found thy works perfect before God. And that's a word for the whole church of God. Does he say to that church whose works he'd not found perfect? It doesn't matter. He doesn't say that, does he? He cancels those churches, the lukewarm ones, those whose works fall short of his holy, righteous standard. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Thou mayest be rich, and white raiment thou mayest be clothed. And anoint thine eyes with thyself. Oh, my dear friend. If there is one message to the Church of God through this pandemic and all the judgments that have come upon us in it, it is this. I have withholden the showers from you. I have withholden my Holy Spirit from you, because that is what Jesus was speaking of when he said to the church, and anoint thine eyes with thyself, thou mayest see. That is the Holy Ghost, who alone can show us our sins, who alone can make us feel our sins, who alone can put heartfelt prayer and living faith in our heart, who alone can apply the precious blood of the Son of God, who alone can take of those things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. As for thee also. You see, these are the ways, those ways I've just briefly outlined, my dear friend. These are the ways the Lord comes to his people. My dear friend, don't think you're going to have a revelation of Christ without having a revelation of your sin. What was the first prayer that godly Scottish minister taught that Highland kitchen lass? He didn't teach her to pray, first of all, show me thyself, did he? He told her to pray, show me myself. Anoint thine eyes with thyself, thou mayest see. As for thee also. Oh, when the Lord comes to a sinner, it seems oftentimes, both in the first time and in renewal, when he finds them sunk in sin and far off from him, not loving the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, and with all their soul, it seems as though he's come to destroy them. But he hasn't. He doesn't hate their persons, he hates their sin. And my dear friend, just as a passing point, everything about God is by the Holy Spirit in some measure, by the sanctification. Jesus Christ made a sinner's sanctification. Everything about God is imprinted on his people in a very tiny measure. If you have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not hate the sinner, but you will hate the sinner's sins. Above all else, you'll hate your own sins. But God won't leave you to hate yourself in the way Judas Iscariot hated himself, so that he took his own life, murdered himself. No. All these things then God does in dealing with his people, because he loves them. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuked of him for whom the Lord loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. As for thee also, you say, well, this seems rather a strange introduction into a text that speaks of the blood of the covenant and speaks of the stronghold and speaks of God sending forth the prisoners out of the pit. But just consider, my dear friend, this blood of the covenant is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. The covenant is a new covenant of God's grace that was sealed by the blood. When Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross, the covenant was sealed. But for what purpose? What was the cause of the blood of Jesus Christ being shed? Sin was the cause. God so loved that people whom he had chosen and given unto his dear Son, and so hated their sins. But the love prevailed over the hatred of their sin, but it couldn't prevail in such a way as that sin need not be punished. That love prevailed on behalf of those people whose sins he hated, in making his son sin for them who knew no sin, in afflicting him with the infinite wrath, afflicting him with those sorrows, those immeasurable sorrows, afflicting him with those immeasurable pains, those deeper pangs of his holy soul the hymn writer speaks of. And can that be so? And this people who the Lord speaks to here, be left by God ignorant of why that blood was shed? No, that cannot be. As for the blood of thy covenant, as for thee, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners into the pit wherein is no water. The prisoners of Zion, that is, the Lord's prisoners among his people. There is a portion of Zion that is at liberty. favored sinner in this congregation this evening, if you don't come into the category of being a prisoner this evening, oh, who have you to thank for that? Who have you to praise for it? Who brought you out of the prison? You say, I've never been in a prison. But then you're not blessed with the liberty of the Son of God. Look well to it, my dear friend. For those of you that have been in the prison, the pit wherein is no water, under the condemnation of the law, that pit wherein is no water, there's no water. The poor guilty sinners under the law of God. Under the solemn realization of the Adam fall and of your part in it. I was singing this afternoon, my dear friend, and it was in connection with the solemn truth that the government of this country and the governments of so many countries in the world now have blood on their hands. For they have murdered millions of unborn children. You see, the Word of God tells us that none of those children are innocent. None of them are innocent. Abortion is sometimes spoken of as the murder of the innocent. And of course, there is that sense in which outwardly they have not committed any sin. But David in Psalm 51 says, in sin did my mother conceive me. Every child that is conceived was a partaker in the Adam fall. Every child that is conceived. And this was such an aggravating part of Adam's sin. He involved the whole human race in that deadly matter that he fell into. He is ruined, that sin ruined, my dear friend, but it's not just the sin of Adam. It's a sin of the whole human race. By this, I might explain this simply like this. Whoever that person is, if they were in Adam's position, they would have done the same. There is only one man, the God-man, and blessed be his dear name, and blessed be the name of the dear Father, and blessed be the name of the Holy Ghost. We don't bless the name of Christ above the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, because it's the Father's Son, is the Father appointed him, and the Holy Ghost formed for him that sacred holy humanity which he took into union with himself. And the Holy Spirit was upon him without measure, by which he was anointed to preach the gospel to the meek. The pit wherein is no water, the Adam fall. Oh, my dear friend, when the Lord puts you in this prison, you can't point the finger at Adam. You can't say, as it were, to Adam, Adam, why ever did you do that? Because God convinces you that you would have done just the same. And all your own multiplied, immeasurably multiplied transgressions that you have personally committed against God. You say, what standard? Oh, what are these sins, minister, you ask me. My dear friend, I need only give that one law which Jesus identified as the great commandment. And if the Holy Spirit in mercy apply those words to you as I speak them, you'll be smitten down with guilt. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and with all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. In this pit wherein is no water, the prisoner cries out, guilt, guilt. He searches around in that pit. He searches around in the morass of his poor, wretched, fallen heart. He searches around in this world for techniques and procedures and forms and ceremonies that could get him out of this pit, but he can't find it because there's no water there. Why not? The earth itself is under the curse. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, said the Lord to Adam and Eve. It shall bring forth unto thee thorns and briars. And that doesn't just mean the things that the farmer and the gardener would not have in his field and in his garden. It speaks of everything that is earthly, being under the curse, being cursed by Almighty God. The pit wherein is no water. Oh, there's no spiritual life in man of himself. Water represents life. Water represents spirituality. Water in the scripture represents the blessed graces of the Holy Spirit himself. There's none of that in man by nature. Man isn't by nature spiritually, he's carnal. Paul confessed it. Oh, he'd been in the way some years before he utters those words. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. You see, they're prisoners in this pit, wherein is no water. That is, they're not comfortable there. Oh, my dear friend, has God made you a prisoner in the pit wherein is no water? By nature, you're not a prisoner in that pit. That is, you don't feel to be a prisoner in that pit. You're quite at home in that pit. You find water in that pit, the water of sin. What a satisfying thing that is for your poor, fallen nature. Whether it be profane sin or religious sin. Lord, oh, my dear friend, what a mercy if the Lord has made you a prisoner in the pit wherein is no water. That is, firstly, a convicted sinner knows why they are where they are. They are guilty. That is why they're in that prison. But oh, how they long for release. Their quickened soul longs for liberty. Liberty from what? Liberty to do what? You know, my dear friend, I feel that it is incumbent upon the Lord's servants to preach as the Lord direct and enable them relative to the present situation. And I would bring it forth here regarding this pandemic we're in, this judgment we're under. If you're a prisoner in the pit wherein is no water, you won't merely want the Lord to take away this pandemic, to make your life easier, more comfortable, so you can go back to doing the things you did before. What an awful thing it will be for you and me, my dear friend, if as a Lord, well, we don't know what he would do, but if it does please him to lift his hand and take this away, at least in a good measure, What an awful thing it would be if you came out of that and you had not obtained the forgiveness of your sins. You had not obtained that for the first time or in renewal. What a solemn thing if he lifted his hand and you went back to doing things just as you did before. I often say to my people, remember what the name Jesus means. It doesn't mean he shall save his people in their sins. It means he shall save his people from their sins. We read that word in the prophecy of Jeremiah 31 this evening. I can turn to it to quote it. Yes, it's in verse 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah, in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. These prisoners in the pit wherein is no water, because the Lord, by the blood of his covenant, has sent them forth, that is, in his eternal mind and purpose, it is finished from before the foundation of the world in the mind of God. And now, as the Savior over 2,000 years ago laid down his life, it is finished. What is finished? For their sakes, I sanctify myself. And above all that meant, I go to the cross. I die for them. I sanctify myself for their sakes. So that they can go on in sin. So that they can just have this notion of God being a very merciful God. Yes, oh, we're all failures, we say, but God is very merciful. No, Jesus says, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. What truth? That Christ died for them, that Christ shed his precious blood for them and rose again from the dead. What truth? The Holy Spirit shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So as I said just now, where the Lord says, I have sent forth, he's speaking of what is in his eternal mind. Even to these people spoken to all those years before Christ became incarnate, before he lived that perfect life, stood against the devil, and then died that ignominious death and rose again. Even all these hundreds of years before that took place, God can say to them, I have done it. I have done it. It is done. So he's speaking of his own mind, his own purpose. Part of that golden chain in Romans 8. Whom he foreknew, he also predestinated. What for? You see, my dear friend, turn where we will in the scriptures. We're faced with it. And this is what God is saying to us in these judgments that come upon us. Sinner, what do you know of my sanctification? What do you know of this cleansing away of your guilt? What do you know of this gospel liberty? What do you know of your eyes being open, your ears open, your heart open, your feet moved in the way of my commandments, your mouth open? a new song put in your mouth, even praise unto the Lord. And what is it, my dear friend? You see, even in this comparatively minor matter of this disease that has come upon man, there is in it emblematically an illustration of sin. Governments have to try to do that to alleviate the situation. But oh, how God has proven again and again the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. What a mercy if he caused you to turn your eyes away from this situation, but learn from it. Learn from it. And isn't that how it is with any affliction he lays on us? Isn't it so with any trouble he lays on us? But above all, is it not so concerning that trouble of sin which he troubles his people with? Seek my soul, no other healing but the balmy blood of Jesus. Nothing else can from guilt release thee. Nothing else can do thee peace. But it isn't the blood as it is blessedly spoken of in the word. No. You see, again and again, scientists, politicians, have come up with proposals, supposed solutions. They solved it. All their theories, how often they've been proved wrong. You know, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And oh, may the Lord write that truth on our heart, not just concerning COVID-19. That's a little matter, really. Blessed be his dear name. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth over the infinitely greater matter, the salvation of your soul, your sins. And how does he reign over that matter? The Father in his eternal love set his heart upon his people, chose them in his Son, sent his Son. His Son obeyed where Adam fell, stood where Adam fell, died for Adam's and the whole of the elect's sins on the cross of Calvary, and the Holy Spirit can alone bear witness. Can alone bear witness. This is what we so much need, my dear friend. There is no believer on the Lord Jesus Christ without the Holy Ghost. Go back even further than that in the experience of the believer. There is no newborn sinner without the Holy Ghost. There's none that really feel their sin without the Holy Ghost. There's none that pray without the Holy Ghost. There's none that repent without him. There's none that believe. There's none that love. Oh, but we've grieved him. That's why we're in the pit, where there's no water. That's why we're in captivity. You see the proof that the Holy Spirit has not altogether been taken from the church, and he never will be. Jesus said to his disciples, and surely he was speaking to his whole church, that is all those born again of the Spirit, he dwelleth in you and shall be with you. I have sent forth thy prisoners. I was quoting that word from Romans 8, wasn't I? Whom he foreknew, them he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. What rebels we are under the Lord's judgment. That's not conformity to the image of Christ, is it? This is the pit where there is no water. You know, a living child of God has that put within them and kept alive in them, or revived in them, as it often needs to be, wherein it is a present to them when they are bearing the image of the earthly and not the image of the heavenly, where they are showing in their spirit and their conduct and their speech and their behavior what a fallen son of Adam they are. And you see, the formalist can say, well, yes, that's what we're like. But the child of God has put within him that new principle that will acknowledge that is what they're like, but they're not content with it. And that will be so right down to the end. Oh, that I'd not of myself, but how are we going to lose ourselves? You won't get rid of self, my dear friend, in this pit that is without water. Another thing that water might be said to set forth is any strength, any might, any wisdom. There's none of that. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can relieve thee from sin's smart. Nothing else from guilt release thee. Nothing else than peace in power. By the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. To summarize verse 11, we might say, this is God preaching his gospel to sinners. Oh, my dear friend, have you heard him preach the gospel to you? Tell you how he saves sinners? Tell you how he delivers sinners out of the pit? What is he saying? In my eternal counsels, I have fixed it. I have done it. In the finished work of my dear son, I have outwardly, manifestly demonstrated it. And now in the preaching of the Holy Spirit, directly through the word, even through the ministers whom the Lord sends forth to preach, determined to know nothing among men save Jesus and him crucified. It's verse 11. As for thee also. This is the first way in which God is bringing this sinner into the bond of the covenant by preaching Christ to him. As for thee also, or when he says whosoever, when he says all that the Father giveth me should come to me, when he stood and cried on that last day of the feast, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. When he says in the last chapter of the book, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I will give to him that is athirst the drink of the water of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now, verse 10. His counsel to these prisoners. The work that he sets these prisoners to, it is not a work under the old covenant of works. It is the labor of faith. Paul writes to the Hebrews, doesn't he, chapters 3 and 4. Let us labor therefore. That's what I mean when I mean he sets these prisoners this exercise. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. This is what the Lord is directing. And what is it? It's turning. My dear friend,
Oh, what a wonderful truth we have before us again this evening. Turning. The Lord turns his people another way toward himself. Where are you looking, sinner, this evening? You look at, if you're in the prison, if you're one of these prisoners in the pit where there's no water, by the Lord saying to you, turn you to the stronghold, he's saying, do not keep looking at the walls of this prison. Do not keep searching round the extremities of this prison to see if you can find a drop of water somewhere, because you never will. We sung at the prayer meeting at South Morton last week that hymn of Joseph Hart's, The Soul's Soliloquy with himself, as it's set forth in Psalm 42. You remember one of those verses comes in like this, doesn't it? Pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity join with power. Turn you. You, Mr. Frank Gosden, used to say concerning that verse in that hymn, the Lord, he sees to it that his people pour on themselves long enough, but he won't have them pour on themselves too long. Ah, how long is long enough when you're brought to have no hope in yourself, when you're brought to despair of self, when you're brought to despair of stopping sinning, when you're brought to despair of softening that hard heart of yours, when you're brought to despair of being so carnal, when you're brought to despair of believing, of repenting, of loving, of living a different life. Turn you to the stronghold. One of the reasons I read that portion with you in Jeremiah 31 is because Ephraim is quoted there. That is the sinner in our text. And Ephraim says, surely after that I was returned, after that I was turned, I repented. And after I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. The repentance and the smiting upon your thigh comes after the turning. And what is the truth that comes out of that blessed truth I've just stated? And it is truth. It couldn't be clearer, could it? Ephraim, the child of God, under this teaching, he tells us exactly how it is. You poor sinner in the prisoner without in the pit without water this evening. You say, oh, I can't repent. Turn you, poor sinner who can't repent. For repentance flows freely, not in the pit, but from Jesus Christ. It flows in those streams of blood which ran down from his sacred head, his hands, his feet, and then his side. Him hath God exalted to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. The whole is in this blood of the covenant. Turn you. It's me, my dear friend. It's you. When the Lord speaks to us, remember how I began this evening. You should be gathered one by one. The Lord stops us looking round on others and saying, you need to turn. The Lord says, you need to turn. It's you. David, when the parable was spoken to him by Nathan that set forth his own sin, he thought he was speaking of someone else. And that's what we're all like, isn't it? Turn you, oh blessed sinner that gets this, turn you. Because if the Lord says turn you, he will accomplish it. The psalmist prayed, the church in the psalm prays, doesn't it? Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine. We shall be saved. Now the stronghold, the strong refuge. It is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the strength of that stronghold? In that he is a God-man. He is the eternal Son. He is the root of David. Oh, co-equal and co-eternal. Yeah, Newton says in his hymn, nor could I upon him rely unless I was sure he was God. He is God. That man that died on the cross at Calvary is verily God, verily man. You see, he wouldn't be a stronghold for these prisoners of hope in the pit where there is no water if he hadn't become man. I have laid help upon one that's mighty. I've exalted one chosen from among the people. A man shall be as an hiding place in the wind, a cover from the tempest, the stronghold. Oh, what's the stronghold in that he is the God-man? God himself showing himself not only on the sinner's side, but in the sinner's place. That's the stronghold. Oh, where Adam fell, he stood. That's the stronghold. Where you and Adam, you cannot keep the law, he did. That's the stronghold. And what you must have endured, sinner, did not God not make his son your stronghold? What you must have suffered, he suffered in your place. Yes, but this prisoner of hope says, oh, but was it for crimes that I had done? He hung upon the tree. Well, the Lord, in bidding the sinner turn to him, surely. And as he enables that one in his bidding to turn, why isn't this the bestowing of that first hope, that first glimpse? Oh, before you had this, my dear friend, whatever teaching you'd had, however often you'd heard gospel sermons until God said this to you, you couldn't see how it could be possible that such an out-of-the-way sinner as you could be saved. When he says, turn you. Oh, if you get this word, my dear friend, he shows by speaking to you that he means you. And you know the Savior in his ministry, how he identified these prisoners of hope. He describes them as he bids sinners come to him. I've already quoted one of them, the thirsty. In the pit wherein is no water, the prisoner gets thirsty. But that's the one that Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. In that pit wherein is no water, the sinner is weary and heavy laden. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The lost, he called. The guilty, he calls. The bankrupts, he calls. The lame, he calls. The blind, he calls. The dead, he calls. Turn ye. Turn you to the stronghold. The stronghold. You see, he's a stronghold in the everything. that lawfully binds you in that prison. He himself shows himself to have dealt with. Yea, he shows himself to have gone deeper. For the prisoner that is in the pit that the Lord is speaking to is not in hell. All they will feel to be there. Out of the valley of hell, cried I. But they're not in hell. But the stronghold is he that endured hell on the cross at Calvary. He who says in the psalm to his father, thou wilt not leave thy my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. The stronghold is his father's delight in him. He calls him his servant to bring prisoners out of the pit, to pardon the sins of the guilty, or to give spiritual life to the dead, to open the eyes of the blind, to give faith to the unbeliever, repentance to the hard-hearted one. Turn you to the stronghold. He's a stronghold in that he cried out, it is finished. What a stronghold is he who said it is finished. Especially when we consider what it was he was speaking of when he said it is finished. The law is fulfilled. Sin is put away. The devil is completely destroyed. He is disarmed. Death is conquered. Justice is satisfied. Salvation is secured. It is finished. And what a stronghold. Because in that he said it is finished, there's nothing for the sinner to do. That's not a stronghold, my dear friend, that leaves something for the sinner to do. That's not a stronghold that is one who is not omnipotent, who is unable to do everything. That is not a stronghold who is one that is not omniscient, who knows everything. That is not a stronghold who is not omnipresent, that is present in every place. The stronghold is in the prison. He was taken from prison and from judgment. The stronghold comes right down to the bottom of that miry prison, into which the feet of that poor captive is sinking. Oh, see him in the grave, my dear. Doesn't one of the hymn writers, speaking of faith, speak of faith, viewing him dead upon the tree and waiting around the grave to see him rise with power to save? The stronghold, because he's the one who shed his blood and sprinkled the mercy seat with that blood. Now to turn to the stronghold is to turn to the mercy seat he now occupies. He sits there as that great high priest. Now he's a stronghold in that he is not such an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Was tempted in all points like as we are. Such an high priest who has shed his precious blood and entered with that blood. Such an high priest that has fulfilled all righteousness. The lawful captive hasted that he may not die in the pit. When? He hasteth when the Lord quickens him. What makes him haste? These tidings. What made that manslayer haste? he hears the avenger of blood coming behind him. That's the law. But he sees before him on the horizon the refuge city, the captive exile hastening. He may not, may be loosed, he may not die in the pit. Turn you in all your condition. In that prison, turn you to the stronghold. Whatever that condition be. Why? What a stronghold is this? All manner of sin and blasphemy should be forgiven. What a stronghold is this? I am married unto thee. What a stronghold is this? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What a stronghold is this truth concerning the delivered sinner. Ye are complete in him. A poor sinner that has got nothing but sin. The stronghold is the one who is able to make a poor sinner complete. And how does he make them complete? He gives them himself. A sinner without faith, complete. He has faith when he has Christ. Without repentance, he has faith when he has Christ. Oh, look, poor unbelieving sinner, turn to the stronghold. Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, the giver of repentance, the source of love. Jehovah said, "Ken you, the Lord, our righteousness, his power to deliver." His power to deliver. The strength of Jesus to deliver. He speaks to Lazarus. He's the king, you see. I've spoken of him being the priest. And of course, as he says, turn you to the stronghold. There's a prophecy there. But he's king. As the king priest. He speaks into that grave where Lazarus' body lay. Lazarus himself lay. Lazarus, come forth. To turn to the stronghold is to cease from your own words, your own vows, your own resolutions, your own anything. To him who is this stronghold, Lord, speak the word only. The centurion turned to the stronghold, didn't he? Speak the word only. You know, whatever it is, from the littlest thing to the greatest thing tonight, that affliction that centurion's servant had, he knew that Jesus had only to speak the word and he would be made whole. And in all those things at this time, my dear friend, in our own personal situations, in our families. Oh, we might consider this word as a word to Zion concerning those children that were spoken of by the Lord. Rahel, who is bereaved of her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. And the Lord says, they shall come again to their own border. Turn ye to the stronghold. Oh, the stronghold of he who is merciful. He who is gracious. He who is almighty. He who knoweth those that are here. The stronghold of his word and his faithfulness to that word. Paul speaks of strong consolation. Two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge. To lay hold on the hope set before. Even today. Ye prisoners of hope. Ye prisoners of hope. How are they prisoners of hope? The Lord is he who has put them in that prison and has spoken into that prison to them. The hopeless prisoner is the sinner dead in trespasses and sin, unto whom the Lord never speaks. Those poor prisoners in hell, those poor prisoners dead in trespasses and sin. But no prisoner that the Lord has set his love upon is a hopeless prisoner. But particularly after the Lord has preached the gospel, there's the hope. And the effect of the hope is the sinner looks for the fulfillment of it, prays for the fulfillment of it, anticipates, hopes against hope for the fulfillment of it, even today. Oh, even when you're in the lowest place, even today, you know, the Lord makes all things new. When he says to you, even today, you haven't got the stale old religion of natural memory, whether it be natural memory of what the Lord did for his people in days past, or the natural memory of what he did for you in days past, child of God, today. Oh, where we need him to say, even today, even in the place you're in now, even under this affliction I've laid upon you, even in this prison you're in now, to the church of God in this situation we find ourselves in, even today. Oh, when you have disregarded my voice so long, when you have not bowed to the rod that I've laid upon you, yet I will still contend with you because of my love to you. Even today, do I declare that I'll render double unto thee. When he renders all the finished work of Christ unto a sinner, he renders that glorious obedience even unto death. He renders all the merits, all the virtue, all the efficacy of that precious blood. God renders. He renders it by the application of the Spirit, the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus, the application of the blood of Jesus, and the imparting of the righteousness of Jesus in the work that is called sanctification. That's rendering, and it's a double. What he means is there's plenty, there's a sufficiency. Oh, though your sins like mountains rise, my love, my grace rises above them. Oh, though your behavior has been so disgraceful, though you've provoked me, you've showed to me the back and not the face, my love will abound over it all. I'll render double, plenteous, overcoming, delivering, transforming, renewing, a blessed increase. I'll render double. We know, says the apostle, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We might consider this double grace and glory. What a double that is. My grace is sufficient for thee. All the wormwood and the gall, his grace sweetens it all. All the sin, his grace puts everyone away. Every one of those sins away. all your ungraciousness, his grace superabounds where sin abounds. All your sorrows, the wiping away of those tears, all the joy, the double. It isn't just that he takes them, all your sins away, but he blesses you with himself. I render double unto thee. You know, when Joseph was brought out of the prison, he wasn't restored to the position he was in when before he was put in prison, was he? The morning he woke in prison, by the evening he was second, only beneath Pharaoh in all the land of Egypt. And when the Lord delivered Mordecai, he didn't just deliver him from being killed by Haman. He exalted him to ride the king's horse and wear the king's coat through the city. I'll render double. Oh, and that glory. To see the Lord as he is. To be made like unto him. Oh, not to restore the sinner to the condition Adam was in before he fell. Oh, much better. Infinitely better than that. To be made like unto the second Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ, what a double in glory. Well, may the Lord bless his word. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day. And there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 1029. Come, Saviour, quickly come. Let me but feel thee near. I'm a poor wanderer far from home, pursued by guilt and fear. Hymn 1029.
Savior, quickly come.
Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We ask thy blessing on it. Oh, may there be some poor sinners turn this evening to the stronghold. Forgive all that's been ours. Preserve us safe. Bless the people. Watch over each one of us, we pray. Save us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.